I am the chosen one.
Cheeto Christ, stupid czar.
I'm speaking with LGBT activists inside Russia. They're actually telling me that it was better during Soviet times and it was under Vladimir Putin.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. A Philippines marriage equality lawsuit fails on a technicality. Randy Rainbow crucifies Trump's Messiah complex. And a human rights advocate unmasks Putin's anti-queer power play. Those stories and more this week because you've tuned in to This Way Out.
I'm Carol Myers.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news interaffecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending September 7th, 2019. The Philippines Supreme Court has dismissed a marriage equality lawsuit on technical legal grounds, not on the merits of the case. The plaintiff was openly gay attorney Jesus Falsas III. The September 3rd ruling said Falsas lacked standing because he had not applied for a marriage license with a male partner himself. The justices also chastised him for not respecting the hierarchy of the court system. Falsas's petition argued that even though he had not personally submitted a marriage application, the Philippines Family Code violated his constitutional guarantee of equal protection as a gay man. Civil marriage is defined as for heterosexuals only in the Southeast Asia nation. However, the written ruling left the door open. It noted that, from its plain text, the Constitution does not define or restrict marriage on the basis of sex, gender, sexual orientation, or gender identity or expression. On the other hand, the justices suggested that official recognition of such partnerships for now is a matter that should be addressed by Congress. Danton Rimoto of the LGBTQ political party, Angladlad, told the Jakarta Post that the great stumbling block will be the Senate, peopled by Christian fundamentalists who have forgotten that there is separation of church and state in the Philippines. Falsas, the plaintiff, called the high court ruling a temporary setback. He told reporters that in other countries, from the U.S. to Australia to Taiwan, they had to lose before they won marriage equality. The Philippines will be no different.
A gay man from the U.S. who married his Japanese partner in the States is planning to sue the Japanese government for resident status. This, according to the Asahi Shimbun, resident status would allow Andrew Hai to continue living in Japan with his husband. Hai says his temporary visitor status prevents them from planning their lives together. Under Japanese law, a foreign national in a heterosexual marriage to a Japanese national is automatically granted spouse status upon entering the country. Japan does not recognize legally married queer couples, so same-gender spouses are not eligible. Hai's lawsuit demands long-term resident status. The couple met in 2004 when the unnamed Japanese man was studying in the United States. The Japanese national found work back home in 2009. Hai has been living off and on with him in a Tokyo condo his Japanese spouse purchased. Hai is unable to legally work in the country, so the couple must survive on the Japanese man's wages. The breadwinner told the Asahi Shimbun that, "Because I am Japanese, I cannot maintain our life as a family because of Japanese law." A lawyer for Hai pointed out that the Japanese man would be able to live in Japan with Hai if he lost his Japanese citizenship. The situation is one that goes beyond irrational.
Japan's Immigration Bureau has granted long-term residency status to a transgender woman based on her 17-year relationship with a Japanese citizen. The Sydney Star Observer reported this week that it was the first decision of its kind. The unidentified, now 58-year-old woman had been living illegally in the country for 26 years. After being unable to have a partnership agreement with her spouse drawn up in 2017, she turned herself in. According to the Star Observer, lawyer Miho Kumazawa told CNN that the trans woman would not have been granted the visa if she were single. Kumazawa said the government considered the reality of her relationship to her partner rather than its legality on paper. Japan has allowed trans people to change gender on their official documents since 2002. However, they must undergo gender reassignment surgery and sterilization to qualify. The trans woman in this case apparently did not qualify.
The Court of Appeals in the Canadian province of British Columbia has upheld the right of a 14-year-old trans teen to continue hormone therapy as part of his female-to-male transition. The Vancouver teen has identified as male since the age of 11, even though his birth certificate says otherwise. Canadian law prohibits publishing his name or the names of any family members or experts who testified during the three-day hearing. The teen began hormone therapy in March following a suicide attempt and a recommendation from medical professionals. His mother supports the treatment, but the teen's father filed a lawsuit demanding that the treatment be stopped. In his affidavit, the teen wrote that the hormone therapy makes him feel amazing. He said that without it, I will be stranded between looking and sounding feminine and looking and sounding masculine. I would feel like a freak. Attorneys for the father insisted that the case was about freedom of speech and the freedom to parent. A lower court ruled that the Infants Act permits the teen to receive hormone therapy at a Vancouver hospital. The Act's parameters involving a minor's ability to consent to medical procedures are generally lax. The province's High Court is the Court of Appeals, and a three-judge panel there agreed with the lower court. The father's attorneys also argued that too little is known about the effects of hormone treatment for the decision to be made by a minor. Medical experts disagreed and told the court that the teen is already about halfway through the hormone therapy. Many of the effects are irreversible.
The queer world can finally bid a not-so-fond farewell to Robert Mugabe. The former dictator of Zimbabwe has died in Singapore at the age of 95. Mugabe ruled the southern African nation, formerly called Rhodesia, with an iron fist after it gained independence from the UK in 1980. He was overthrown by the military in 2017. Mugabe's despicable disdain for queers outdid just about every other tyrant in the world. He's notorious for saying that LGBTQ people were worse than dogs and pigs who should rot in jail. He called same-gender attraction a filthy, filthy disease. He warned that if Zimbabwe accepted homosexuality, the dead will rise against us. Unfortunately, Mugabe's successor, Emmerson Mnangagwa, has continued his mentor's queerphobic legacy. When pressed about LGBTQ rights, he told CNN proponents could canvass, but it's not my duty to campaign for this.
The dust has yet to settle after the aborted Straight Pride Parade in Boston on August 31st. An estimated 200 mostly alt-right supporters of Donald Trump clashed with many times their number of queer and anti-fascist counter-protesters. 36 counter-protesters were arrested. A number of them appeared in court this week. Many had been pepper-sprayed by police. A statement by the Boston Police Patrolmen's Association charged that those arrested assaulted officers, with at least one counter-protester throwing urine at them. Four officers were injured during the scuffles. Prosecutors had recommended that disorderly conduct and/or resisting arrest charges be dismissed for anyone with no prior record. However, Boston Municipal Court Judge Richard Sinnott dismissed only two of the cases to come before him. Some press reports claim that Sinnott refused to dismiss charges against any of the 36 defendants he saw. He required many of them to post bail, even when prosecutors argued that none was needed. Suffolk County District Attorney Rachel Rawlings said in a press release that by compelling arraignment across the board, the judge punished the exercise of individuals' First Amendment right to protest. She said that Sinnott was acting as a prosecutor himself instead of a judge. Defense attorney Susan Church told the judge that he had no authority to completely disregard prosecutorial decisions to drop the charges. Church was reading portions of the relevant case law when Judge Sinnott had her jailed for about 2 hours for contempt of court. The legal wrangling will continue.
Finally, even organizers were overwhelmed by the number of people who turned out to support the first LGBTQ pride celebration in Bermuda. More than 6,000 people paraded in the British Island Territory's capital of Hamilton on August 31st. BurnNews.com reported that the summer clothes were as bright as the rainbow flags carried by some revelers, and even a police vehicle accompanying the marchers had been decorated in a temporary rainbow wrap. The parade was followed by a rally with speeches and a wide range of musical performances that lasted into the early evening. Activists demanded that the government finally file its threatened appeal of the island's top court marriage equality ruling. An appeal would be heard by the Privy Council in London, the court of last resort for British overseas territories. Many believe that the government is only delaying what is probably inevitable. Queer couples have been allowed to marry while the appeals process may or may not be underway. According to the Washington Blade, activists from Barbados, Jamaica, and other English-speaking Caribbean nations joined the celebration in Bermuda. Bermuda Legal Eagle Mary Ellen Jackson told the Royal Gazette newspaper that the turnout was amazing. Did I ever think I would see a rainbow flag flying in Bermuda? No. Did I expect to see a sea of rainbows? I thought that would never happen, but here it is.
That's NewsWrap, Global Queer News with Attitude, for the week ending September 7th, 2019. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to NewsWrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out Radio YouTube channel. For This Way Out, I'm Carol Myers.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
The people who want to fight liberal democracy also are indirectly starting to fight LGBT rights at the moment. They want to create an atmosphere of fear against the LGBT community.
How homophobia plays a role in world politics. But first... U.S. President Donald Trump may claim the power and the glory, but Emmy-nominated YouTube star Randy Rainbow brings the parody and the gotcha.
No president has ever done anywhere close to what I've done. The Democrats have gone very far away from Israel. In my opinion, you vote for a Democrat, you're being very disloyal to Jewish people, and you're being very disloyal to Israel. And only weak people would say anything other than that. I am the chosen one. And nobody's done a job like I've done.
Pardon me. I am the censor from the Citizens Radio Committee. Your program goes into the home. We must be a good influence on children.
Well, it is a special day indeed, as I am joined now by the divine Miss T, our Lord and Savior, King of the Jews. Am I leaving anything out?
Brilliant, great.
Don't push it. Donald Trump, you have had a busy few days. G7 meetings, ongoing trade wars with China. Bedbugs.
Fake news.
Let's see. You also sent out a controversial tweet saying that you are the king of Israel and told a group of reporters that you are the chosen one. How you doing? You okay?
The news about me is largely phony.
Mr. Not My President, you're acting quite bizarre. Ruling like a loon behind your Twitter avatar. Of all your recent antics, this latest one's a pearl. Now it seems you think you're God. Okay, whatever, girl. Your crazy's on full display. Wish you'd just go away. Take a vacay, hun. I hear that Greenland's nice this time of year. Dreaming of walls while the stock market falls. And now you're shaming the Jews. You say you're the chosen one, and I know what you mean. Chosen by the Russian Kremlin in 2016. When will this maniacal messiah complex pass? I hereby order you to get your... And just keep selling us lies and attacking allies. Go on, you king of fake news.
It's fake news. It's disgusting fake news. I read a front page story in the Washington Post.
You're making no sense. Why are you still talking? It's making me nauseous. Everything you say is bullshit. Yes, everything's lies.
I don't think anybody's done more than me.
Close your mouth, and delete all your socials tonight.
The president has said he is the king of the Jews, the second coming of God, the chosen one.
He's he's not really interested in helping mankind. When it comes to Bible study, he's way behind. He can't walk on water or give sight to the blind, but he can change a falsehood to a fact with his mind. When they crucify him in the news, he starts tripping, and he kinda speaks in tongues when his dentures start slipping.
Cheeto Christ, he's like if Jesus were pumpkin spice. Cheeto Christ, stupid czar, mad tangerine colored commissar.
Wow! He prefers profanity to biblical psalms, but he can stop a hurricane with nuclear bombs.
Ooh.
He's praised by his disciples, though they've all been misled. And somehow he brought Mitch McConnell back from the dead.
Ew.
He golfs on Sunday, so at church he's not in attendance. And he makes 25 seem like the Christmas of amendments. He calls himself the second coming, I would have done. But according to these porn stars, he could not even. Don't you get it wrong?
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 Give him what he wants
Give
now.
He wants.
Don't get it wrong.
Don't get it wrong. Cheeto Christ, Cheeto Christ. He's like if Jesus were pumpkin spice. Cheeto Christ, stupid czar, mad tangerine colored commissar.
I think I'm doing a great job.
Don't you get it wrong?
Cheeto Christ,
don't you get it wrong? Let me hear you sing now.
Sounds of his country when he's enticed.
Don't get it wrong.
Cheeto Christ, stupid czar, who in the hell do you think you are?
God.
Clearly.
You can find all of Randy Rainbow's musical musings, his live tour dates, and more at randyrainbow.com. The uncensored Cheeto Christ Stupid Czar video will be posted at thiswayout.org.
I'm Roman Kalinin from Moscow. You are listening to This Way Out at the latest on нашей волне.
Stay on our wavelength.
Belgian-based political scientist and LGBTQ activist Remy Bonny specializes in the queer movement's impact on international relations. His current research focuses on the interactions between the Russian Federation under Vladimir Putin, the European Union, and the former Soviet republics. This Way Out correspondent William Broom in Sydney caught up with Bonny in Brussels via Skype.
How did you get involved in activism, and why is it so important to you?
I was always a bit like the child who was always caring about the world, about global warming and all these kind of things. So when I was starting university 5 or 6 years ago, I went on an exchange to Poland. And that was in the middle of the governmental crisis there on the reforms of the judiciary, where the current conservative government wanted to basically do a crackdown on checks and balances and so on. And then hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people went to the streets of the capital city of Warsaw. And that's where I really got engaged also in activism, not only in my own country, in Belgium, but also in Poland and abroad.
Your expertise is Russia, the former Soviet republics, and Eastern Europe, and also the relationship with the European Union. Why that area in particular?
Well, it's not that I particularly love the area or something, but it's an area that has a lot of challenges and a lot of opportunities at the same time. After the fall of the Soviet Union, there was a huge vacuum there to establish economic development, to establish human rights and so on. And in some countries in the former Eastern Bloc, you see that they actually were very effective and successful in establishing human rights. I'm thinking, for instance, on the Czech Republic, where at the moment, parliament, the debate is happening about implementing same-sex marriage and so on. And you saw a lot of economic development also in the area, but you saw also a lot of backlashes at the same time in the area. Have you looked at what is happening in Russia concerning LGBT rights? Well, I mean, I don't have to go into detail on it, but everybody knows that there was a huge crackdown on LGBT rights. And if I'm speaking with LGBT activists inside Russia, they're actually telling me that it was better during Soviet times than it was under Vladimir Putin at the moment.
What do you think has changed?
there is a bigger focus on LGBT rights, of course, at the moment in the world. Since the implementation, since 2001, of same-sex marriage in the Netherlands, LGBT rights became, let's say, a hot topic in politics all around the world. And especially in Western Europe, we have been successful in implementing a lot of LGBT rights in the last two decades. And LGBT rights also somehow became the most successful thing that happened in liberal democracy from the last two decades. And the people who want to fight liberal democracy, of course, also are indirectly starting to fight LGBT rights at the moment then, because the most successful thing that liberal democracy established in the last two decades, well, that's LGBT rights. So it's not that weird that, for instance, Russia focuses that much on LGBT rights. They want to fight not just the LGBT community, but liberal democracy and human rights in general.
Is it also partly an appeal for nationalism?
Yes, yes. It's about nationalism. It's about conservatism. It's about orthodoxy. What we had in Russia, and that's one of the easiest things to basically explain what is happening at the moment there. During the Soviet times, you had two enemies. That was an internal enemy and an external enemy. The external enemy was the West, the United States, liberal democracy, and so on. But their internal enemy during Soviet times, that was religion. And after the fall of the Soviet Union, religion, the Orthodox Church, the Russian Orthodox Church, basically took over power in Russia. So they had to find a new internal enemy to consolidate their dictatorship. If they wanted to have a dictatorship, they have to want to retain the power over the Russian people, they had to find a new internal enemy. And already in the 90s, we saw actually that internal enemy was non-traditionalism, and that non-traditionalism evolved over the years to the LGBT community. And of course, their external enemy stayed the same. The tensions between the United States, the European Union, and Russia only rose since the Cold War. This is a bit like how you can easiest explain what is happening at the moment in Russia. It's all about geopolitics. It's about political strategy. It's to consolidate their own dictatorship.
And you've mentioned previously that all the rights we've achieved can be taken back, can't they?
Yes, yes. When Yeltsin was in power in the 90s in Russia, there were some good signs for the LGBT community. There were Russia joined the Council of Europe, signed the European Convention on Human Rights, and so on. The LGBT community in Moscow and St. Petersburg organized themselves quite good. And then, and in 2013, Vladimir Putin introduced his anti-propaganda law in Russia. It's just impossible to just go on the streets and wave a rainbow flag or walk on the streets hand in hand with your boyfriend or girlfriend. And as an LGBT person, that's just impossible in Russia at the moment. And it's not just impossible because it's too dangerous, because you can't get beaten up. Well, you will get beaten up, but you will also not get any security provided by the government. The moment you get beaten up in Russia and you go tell the police that you got beaten up because you were gay, well, then the police is going to laugh at you. And most probably you will get beaten up again by the police officers themselves.
What is the general feeling in Russia that you're getting from members of the LGBTI community there?
Yeah, well, it's a bit mixed, actually. Putin is somehow able to sell his homophobia, his state homophobia, also to the LGBT community. So if I'm speaking to certain members of the LGBT community, some of them believe that indeed there is a certain Western conspiracy on LGBT rights against Russia to undermine the traditional values of Russia. That's what even some people of the LGBT community believe inside Russia. That has everything to do with internalized homophobia, of course, of these people. But in general, if I'm speaking to activists, to LGBT activists, they're just very afraid, of course, at the moment. We had only a month ago Yelena Grigorieva, a Russian human rights activist who was openly lesbian and so on, who was murdered. And it was obviously a homophobic murder. Her pictures were on websites, on homophobic websites, to hunt her down and so on. Even though these websites declared afterwards that they did it. And then if you ask the authorities in Russia, just said like, it was a local accident. She had some problems with her neighbors. And we're going to solve it that way. That was not the case. She was murdered. just because of her sexuality. And if you ask me, there is a huge chance that this was actually orchestrated by the people in the Kremlin at the moment. They want to create an atmosphere of fear against the LGBT community. And what I see is that certain members of the, or certain high-level members of the LGBT community itself at the moment are organizing themselves to flee out of the country. So they are doing a total crackdown on LGBT activism already since over a decade now.
You've also helped expose the purges of LGBTI people in Chechnya. How did that come about?
Indeed, what happened in Chechnya is not just another example of what has happening in Russia. Chechnya, the Chechen Republic, is an autonomous part of Russia. And yeah, at some point, I think it was somewhere in December last year, independently from each other, two guys who fled to the European Union from Chechnya told me that, yeah, you know, it's totally not over what is happening in Chechnya at the moment. We thought that since 2017 that Russia actually asked the Chechen authorities to stop persecuting, to stop torturing, and to stop murdering LGBT persons in Chechnya. But these people told me, yeah, I was detained only 5 months ago.
So it's still happening.
So it's still happening. For instance, another story I was in contact with a few months ago, with a guy living just outside Chechnya, on the border of Chechnya. And he was detained back in 2017. They made a video where he had to declare that he was a homosexual and that he would never come back to the Chechen Republic. Then they released him. Well, he didn't come back to the Chechen Republic, but he went to the province next to Chechnya. And now he's living there. And yeah, they burned his house down for 3 times in the last year. And they put the video on social media only 5 months ago. So he is hunted down not just by the authorities, but also by his neighbors.
How dangerous is it to stand for LGBTQ rights in Eastern Europe?
In Georgia, I was just walking on the streets. And at some point, me and my colleagues, also some international people, were telling me, this guy, I think he's trying to film us. And I think I've seen him already a few times. And then you need to start thinking that this is not just some homophobic idiots.
Activist Remy Bonney's conversation with correspondent William Broom continues next time on This Way Out. You can find out more about Remy's work at remybonney.com. That's remybonny.com. Thanks for tuning into This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Carol Myers and Michael LeBeau, produced by Brian DeShazer, and from William Broom. Special thanks to Chicago's own J. Stephen Hunt. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks to Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trenton, Christopher Matthews, Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley, and all the listener donors who make this program possible, including you, we hope. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KGNU, Boulder, Denver, Fort Collins, and Ward, Colorado, WMPG, Portland, Maine, CHMA, Sackville, New Brunswick, and an astonishing array of community radio stations and other outlets around the world, including this one. Stay tuned.